Well, hey, everybody, I'm Adam Schell, the pastor at Melbourne Heights, and welcome to our sermon podcast. In this episode of our podcast, we are starting into a brand new series of sermons called God on Film. So over our next few episodes, we're going to be taking a closer look at some blockbuster movies to see what these films can teach us about our faith. And we're going to kick things off by talking about the new Super Mario Brothers movie. In the new Super Mario Brothers movie, we're reminded that there are times when we all mess up and we make mistakes, and we don't feel so super about ourselves. And that can make us wonder if God can love someone like us. In this sermon, we're going to be reminded that in spite of our imperfections, God's love for us never wavers. No matter how many times we mess up, no matter how many times we make mistakes, we are always precious in God's eyes. So let's get right into this episode sermon. So today we're starting into a new series of sermons called God on Film. And what this means for us is that over the next few weeks, we're going to take a little bit of time to look at some blockbuster movies and see what each of these films can teach us about our faith. But even though we are officially starting this sermon series today, we kind of unofficially got our God on Film series started yesterday at Melbourne Heights with a movie day here at the church, where we got together and we had a chance to watch the new Super Mario Brothers movie. Now, for those of you who may not know who Mario is a video game character that was created by Nintendo, and he has been starring in Nintendo video games for more than 40 years. And when Mario first started out in these games, he was a plumber from Brooklyn who was somehow transported to a place called the Mushroom Kingdom. And what this means is that even though Mario is a plumber in these movies, or in these video games, he doesn't do the kind of things that normal plumbers do. So Mario isn't the kind of plumber who's going to be snaking drains or installing sinks. No, Mario's going to spend most of his time fighting bad guys that look like mushrooms and turtles to help protect the Mushroom Kingdom and its princess, Princess Peach, from the evil king of the Koopas, Bowser. And that's basically what happens in the new Super Mario Brothers movie. But even though we have heard this kind of story, this story of a hero who saves the day, more times than any of us can remember, I have to tell you, I still absolutely loved the new Super Mario Brothers movie. And a big part of that probably has to do with the fact that I grew up playing Mario Brothers video games when I was a kid. So I was extremely excited to have the chance to see some of my all-time favorite video game characters, like Mario and Donkey Kong and even Toad, come to life on the big screen. But I also really enjoyed a lot of the little Easter eggs that were hidden all throughout the movie as well. Like, I laughed pretty hard when Mario was making his way through the Mushroom Kingdom and you saw some of the toadstools that were jumping up and punching bricks so that they could collect gold coins, which is how Mario made money. And I really loved when Bowser started playing the underground theme song after he had finished up singing the song Peaches that everybody knows from the Mario movie, because that underground theme song played every time you went down in one of the pipes in the original Mario Brothers video games. And I spent pretty well the entire movie waiting for Mario to finally find the power-up that was the Tanuki suit so that he could turn into that flying raccoon and finally save the day. But if you were to ask me what my favorite part of the entire Mario Brothers movie was, I'd probably have to tell you that it was the training course scene that happens early on in the movie. Now, in this training course scene, Princess Peach, who is the princess who rules over the Mushroom Kingdom, takes Mario to a training course so that Mario can prove that he is good enough to help Princess Peach as she is trying to protect the Mushroom Kingdom from the evil king of the Koopas, Bowser. And when you stop and you think about it for a second, that makes perfect sense. Because Mario has literally just fallen out of the sky. He's come out of nowhere. So Princess Peach doesn't know anything about who Mario is. She doesn't know what Mario is capable of. So Mario is going to have to show that he is good enough to help Princess Peach. And to do that, he's going to have to run through this training course that is filled with all of the obstacles that you would have expected to see in a classic Mario Brothers video game. Like, Mario's going to have to be able to jump up on bricks, and he's going to have to be able to avoid the spinning fire bar. He's going to have to be able to dodge the piranha plants and keep them from eating him and avoid getting hit by a bullet bill. He's going to have to beat up a cardboard cutout that looks like Bowser, and he's also going to be able to have to outrun the falling donut bricks along the way. So Mario's going to have to prove that he is good enough to help Princess Peach by completing this training course. But before Mario gets his shot at the training course, The princess is going to show him how it's done by running the course herself. And Princess Peach absolutely flies through that training course like it's nothing at all. And when she finishes running through that course with a near flawless run through the training course, we've got a picture that we'll put up on the screen that lets you see the look that Mario had on his face. That's what Mario looked like. And Mario looked like that for a good reason. Mario looked like that after Princess Peach finished her run through the training course, because in that moment, Mario wasn't feeling quite so super about himself. In that moment, after watching Peach run through that training course, Mario was starting to wonder if he was actually good enough to help Princess Peach protect her kingdom. And that's why that's my favorite scene in the entire movie. It's my favorite scene in the entire movie because we all know exactly how Mario felt in that moment. Because we've all had moments when we didn't feel so super about ourselves. We've all had moments where we don't feel so super about ourselves. You've had those moments. You've had those moments when you didn't feel like you were a super student and you wondered if you were ever going to be able to pass a math or spelling test. You've had moments where you haven't felt like a super athlete and you've wondered if you were going to end up getting cut from your high school basketball or volleyball team. You've had moments where you haven't felt like a super spouse or partner or parent. And what I'm going to say next may be a little difficult to hear, and it may even be harder for you to admit, because most of us grew up inside of churches, whether you're worshiping with us right now in person or worshiping with us online. You grew up in churches where you sang songs like Jesus Loves Me and Amazing Grace, and we heard stories about how God was able to redeem and reform people who were doubters and prostitutes and murderers and worse, and use them to help build up the kingdom of God. But because we all have moments where we don't feel so super about ourselves, we all also think sometimes that God doesn't feel too super about us either. We do. We have those moments where we think that God doesn't feel so super about us either. And I can feel comfortable and confident saying that we all have those moments where we think that God doesn't feel real super about us, because I know I have those moments myself. And that's because I know who I really am. I know who I am as a person. And I know that I'm the kind of person that gets really upset when I'm out driving on the road and all the other drivers around me are acting like complete and total jerks. And I know that I am the kind of person that gets jealous whenever I see people who I am friends with or my followers on social media sharing pictures of these luxurious vacations that they get to go on when the only place I get to go is to work. And I know that I'm also the kind of parent who tells my daughter, we'll see, a whole lot. And we all know what it means when a parent says, we'll see. It means, no, it's not going to happen. But I tell her that when I'm just not feeling up to playing another game of Guess Who or building another Lego set with her. So I know the kind of person that I am. And I know that if I was in that training course scene in the Mario Brothers movie, then I'm a whole lot more like Mario than I am like Princess Peach. I know that I'm not a perfect person. And that makes me wonder if I'm good enough for God. Now let me ask you a question. Do you ever wonder if you're good enough for God? Do you ever wonder how God really feels about you? Well, if you have, if you've ever wondered how God really feels about you, if you've ever wondered if you're good enough for God, I've got a story that I want us to take a closer look at today that's going to show us exactly how God feels about all of us. So if you've got a Bible close by, you've got one, you know, a printed one or an app on your phone, go ahead and open it up and turn to Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, and as you're finding this, I'll just go ahead and remind you that the book of Luke is basically a biography of Jesus. So as we're looking at the book of Luke, you're going to be able to read the accounts of Jesus' birth and his baptism. You'll be able to read about Jesus' ministry and the miracles that he performed. You'll be able to read about Jesus' crucifixion and his resurrection. But in Luke chapter 7, we're going to read an account of what happens one time that Jesus is invited to a dinner party. All right? So with that in mind, let's take a look at Luke chapter 7. We're going to start reading in verse 36. Here's what Luke writes. He says, "One of the Pharisees invited Jesus to eat with him. After he entered the Pharisee's home, Jesus took his place at the table. Now, you may or may not realize it, but this is a really interesting way for Luke to start this story. Luke starts the story by telling us that Jesus is about to have dinner with a Pharisee. Now, I don't know how much you guys know about who the Pharisees were, but the Pharisees were the religious elite of their time. These were the keepers, the protectors, and the teachers of their faith. So the Pharisees were the kind of people who never had any doubt about how God felt about them. When the Pharisees looked at themselves, they thought they were as close to perfect as was humanly possible. So the Pharisees had absolutely no doubt that God loved them, but they weren't real sure about how God felt about other people. So hearing that Jesus is about to sit down and have dinner with a Pharisee is a little like hearing that Mario's about to sit down and have dinner with Bowser. Or it's a little bit like hearing that Bugs Bunny is going to sit down and have dinner with Elmer Fudd. All right? If that was ever going to happen, you know that things are going to get interesting pretty quickly during the course of that meal. And things do get interesting as we keep reading in Luke chapter 7. So let's pick back up in Luke chapter 7, verse 37, and see what happens next. Here's what Luke tells us. He says, "Meanwhile, a woman from the city, a sinner, discovered that Jesus was dining in the Pharisee's house. She brought perfumed oil in a vase made from alabaster. Standing behind him at his feet and crying, she began to wet his feet with her tears. She wiped them with her hair, kissed them, and poured oil on them." Okay. So here we know, Jesus has been invited to this dinner party. He's having dinner with this Pharisee. And things get interesting when Luke tells us that this woman from the city, who Luke describes as being a sinner, shows up. Now, there's been a lot of talk, a lot of speculation about who this woman may have been or what sin she may have committed over the years. But all Luke tells us, the only word that Luke uses to describe this woman, is that she is a sinner. And this just so happens to be the exact same word that one of Jesus' closest friends and followers, Simon Peter, uses to describe himself a couple of chapters earlier in the book of Luke when Simon Peter says, "Oh Lord, please leave me. I'm too much of a sinner to be around you." So based on the way that Luke describes this woman to us, she is no better than, no worse than one of Jesus' closest friends and followers. She's a sinner. She's somebody who's messed up. She's somebody who's made mistakes. She's somebody who isn't perfect. And now in this story, she's coming before Jesus. But that's not exactly how the Pharisee sees this woman when he looks at her in this story. So as we pick back up in Luke 7, verse 39, this is what we read. Luke writes, "When the Pharisee who had invited Jesus saw what was happening, he said to himself, 'If this man were a prophet, he would know what kind of woman is touching him. He would know that she is a sinner.'" So in these verses, we're told that when the Pharisee looks at this woman who has come to wash Jesus' feet, that he sees everything that is wrong with her. When he looks at this woman, he sees every mistake that she's ever made, every time that she's ever messed up, every sin she's ever committed, everything that she's done in her life that hasn't been perfect. And the Pharisee thinks that if Jesus really knew who this woman was, that Jesus would want nothing to do with her. If Jesus knew who this woman really was, then Jesus would loathe her instead of love her. And that's the same way that a lot of us think about ourselves. We think that if Jesus knew the real us, that he wouldn't love us. He would loathe us. We think that if Jesus knew the real us, that he wouldn't love us. He would loathe us. Because we know the kind of people we are. We know all the times we've messed up. We know all the mistakes that we've made. We know all the times that we've shown that we aren't perfect people, so we don't feel like we're good enough for God. But this Pharisee, And the story is about to learn a really important lesson. And it's a lesson that all of us need to learn. It's a lesson that all of us need to remember. Because as we keep reading in the story, Jesus is going to show this Pharisee that not only does Jesus know exactly who this woman is, he also knows exactly what the Pharisee is thinking. So as we pick back up in Luke chapter 7, verse 40, this is what we read. Jesus replied, "Simon," which is the name of the Pharisee, said, "Simon, I have something to say to you." "Teacher, speak," he said. A certain lender had two debtors. One owed enough money to pay 500 people for a day's work. The other owed enough money for 50. When they couldn't pay, the lender forgave the debts of both of them. Which of them will love him more? Simon replied, "Well, I suppose the one who had the largest debt canceled." Jesus said, "You've judged correctly." Jesus turned to the woman and he said to Simon, "Do you see this woman? When I entered your home, you didn't give me water for my feet, but she has wet my feet with her tears and wiped them with her own hair. You didn't greet me with a kiss, but she hasn't stopped kissing my feet since I came in. You didn't anoint my head with oil, but she has poured perfumed oil on my feet. This is why I tell you that her many sins have been forgiven. So she has shown great love. The one who is forgiven little loves little." Then Jesus said to her, "Your sins are forgiven." The other table guests began to say among themselves, "Who is this person that he can even forgive sins?" And Jesus said to the woman, "Your faith has saved you. Go in peace." So while this woman was still washing Jesus' feet, Jesus looks over at Simon, the Pharisee that he's been eating with, and he tells this Pharisee his story, and he asks him a question. He says to him, "A certain lender had two debtors. One owed enough money to pay 500 people for a day's work. The other owed enough money to pay 50 people's wages for a day's work. When they couldn't pay off their debt, the lender forgave both of these debtors. So which one of them is going to love them more?" Now, in that little story that Jesus tells, in this account in the book of Luke, these two debtors that Jesus talks about, they represent all of us. These are two people who have messed up. These are two people who have made mistakes. These are two people who are far from perfect. And these are the kind of people that on the surface, when we look at them, we would think that God wouldn't love them. But as the story continues, Jesus tells us that both of these debtors, regardless of how much they owed, have been forgiven. They've been forgiven of their debts, no matter how great or how small they may have been. They've been forgiven of the times they've messed up. They've been forgiven for the mistakes that they've made. They've been forgiven for not being perfect people. So when Jesus looks at that woman who is sitting at his feet while he is sitting at that table, he doesn't see the debts that she has. He doesn't see the mistakes that she's made. He doesn't see the times that she's messed up. Jesus doesn't see an imperfect person. And why is that? Well, it's because that woman is just like the two debtors in the story that Jesus told. That woman has been forgiven. And Psalm 103, verse 12, tells us that as far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our sin from us. Now, I want you to stop and think about that for just a minute. As far as the east is from the west, that's how far God has removed our sin from us. Okay, now, I want you to imagine that after our time together today comes to an end, that you are going to go on a trip and you're going to start traveling north. Okay, now, after you travel north long enough, you are going to reach the North Pole, right? And when you reach the North Pole and you start traveling again, you're going to start heading south. And when you start heading south, if you travel 12,430 miles, you're going to hit the South Pole. And then when you leave the South Pole, you're going to start traveling north, right? It's just the way that it works. Okay, now imagine that after the service comes to an end, you want to start traveling east. How far east do you have to go before you start traveling west again? There isn't an East Pole and a West Pole in the world. So if you start traveling east, you will never stop traveling east unless you turn around and change directions. That's how far God has removed our sin from us. That's how far God has removed our mistakes from us. That's how far God has removed all the times that we've messed up from us. That's how far God has removed our imperfections from us. So stop wondering if you're good enough for God. Stop wondering. Stop thinking that God is angry with you. Stop thinking that God is upset with you. Stop thinking that God doesn't feel like you're super because you're not perfect. Now, if you've ever had that moment where you've wondered how God feels about you, if you've ever had one of those moments where you felt like you're not good enough for God, I wanted you to really pay attention to what I'm going to say next. Because what I'm going to say next is the most important thing that you will ever hear me say. And that doesn't just go for this message that I'm preaching right now or the one that I'm going to preach next week or the week after. This is the most important thing that you will ever hear me say. So make sure that you're paying attention for this. We'll even put this up on the screen in just a second because I want this to sink in for you a little bit. So are you ready to hear the most important thing that you will ever hear me say? Here it is. God loves you. Period. God loves you. There is no doubt about that. There is no question about that. God loves you. And I'm not just saying that to you because I'm your preacher and that's what preachers are supposed to tell you. I'm not just saying that because I want you to feel good when our time together in worship today comes to an end. I'm telling you that because it's absolutely true. And this is a reality that is shown to us time and time again when we read the Bible. Like in places like Isaiah 54 verse 10, God tells us, the mountains and the hills may crumble, but my love for you will never end. In Isaiah 43 verse 4, God tells us, you are precious in my eyes, you are honored, and I love you. In Jeremiah 31 verse 3, God tells us, I have loved you with a love that lasts forever. Loves you. But I know that just hearing me say that a few times before a sermon wraps up, that's not enough for that reality to sink in. I know that there's still going to be times when you wonder how God really feels about you. I know there's going to be times when you wonder if you're good enough for God. I know that there are going to be times when you wonder if God thinks that you're a super person or not. Now, when you have those times, what I want to encourage you to do is to remember that simple truth that God loves you, but I also want you to go back and reread those verses that we just had up on the screen. We'll put them back up there one more time so that you can write them down, pull out your cell phone, take a picture of them if you need to, whatever you need to do to remember these verses. But go back and read these anytime that you start wondering how God feels about you, because God makes it clear how he feels about all of us. God's not angry with us. God's not upset with us. God's not focused on all the times that we've messed up, all the mistakes that we've made, all of our imperfections. God looks at us. He sees people that he has forgiven. And that means that every mistake we've ever made, every sin we've ever committed is so far removed from us, we will never experience it, never see it again. So have no doubt that God loves you. And I also want you to know, God thinks you're pretty super, even if your name's not Mario. Let's pray together. God, we are so thankful for the reminder that we've heard throughout this message today. We are so grateful that you love us. Because God, when we look at ourselves, we know that we don't deserve your love. We know that we aren't perfect people. We mess up. We make mistakes. We sin, God. We separate ourselves from you. But in spite of our flaws, in spite of our imperfections, God, you have forgiven us of every one of those things. And because you have forgiven us of those things, there is removed from us as far as the east is from the west, God. And because of that, we don't have to wonder how you feel about us. We don't have to believe that you're angry with us or that you're upset with us, God. We can know that we have been forgiven, and because we are forgiven, we are loved. You love us more than any of us can begin to imagine or ever begin to explain, God. So let us have confidence, knowing that we are your children, knowing that we are loved by you. And God, help us to share your love in the world around us. We pray it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, hey, everybody, it's Adam again, and I just want to thank you for tuning in to this episode of our sermon podcast. And I hope that this episode has shown you that no matter how many times you mess up, no matter how many mistakes you make, that God loves you, and there is nothing that will ever change that. God will always love you. Well, that's going to do it for this week's episode, but I want to encourage you to come back and join us when our next episode drops next week, because we're going to be continuing on in the sermon series called God on Film, where we're looking at blockbuster movies to see what these films can teach us about our faith. And next week, we're going to be taking a closer look at the 1976 classic Rocky, and we're going to see what the movie Rocky can teach us about putting our faith in God into action. So you can come back and join us when that next episode drops, or you can come and join us on Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Eastern Time on our church website at mhbclouisville.com/live. We'd love to have you come and join us. Well, until next time, I hope that you have a great week. I will be praying for you, and we'll see you back here soon for another sermon podcast.